Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As always, this girl is thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of God and to know that he knows every hair that is numbered on my head. Hallelujah. God knows every hair. Hallelujah, and has numbered it. But the very hairs on your head are numbered. Luke 12:7. Because we understand that if God, hallelujah, knows everything about us, because this is what the word tells us, and we'll be getting to it this morning. But do not fear. Isn't that what Joshua has said all through the word, that we cannot be fearful? That we got to walk in courage. Do not are more value than many sparrows. That's the word from Jesus telling us we are valuable. If God has numbered every hair on our head, we should know we are valuable and have value to God. Father God, this morning, I joyfully come to you asking you, Father, to please increase as I decrease. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. I ask you, Lord God, let your Holy Spirit take control this morning. Let the words that I speak be your words. Let the thoughts that I think be your thoughts. Lord God, use me for your glory this morning, for I humbly submit to you. Use me, Lord, for the work of the kingdom. For we all know, Lord, you are coming back. And in the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up bereaved families today of those slain by their brothers and sisters, by their neighbors, those that they thought would protect them instead of harm them. I pray for families today, Lord God, that we will go by your word, that we will love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Lord God, give us self-love so we can love others. Lord, remove hate. Remove bigotry, remove all the phobias and all the things that are not like you from our hearts, from our minds. Unharden hearts today, Lord God, that we may see each other as human beings made by your mighty hand, made by your gracious receiving the breath of life that you give us, that we may breathe. That we may live, that we may move and have our being because you gave it to us, oh God. I pray for families today, Lord God, that are hurting. I pray, Lord God, for fathers to come into their homes and take care of their children and not allow anybody to remove them from mothers. To love their children more than they love themselves. I pray for families today, Lord God, for grandmothers and grandfathers, for those seniors that have no one, that are in facilities, Lord God. I pray that there's someone that is adopting a senior today, Lord God, that has no one. That are being adopted, are being loved, being cared for, that they will not one day want to be taken out by the system. Father, I pray for United Nations, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Lord God, I pray for justice today for the downtrodden, for those that are not treated well, because you said, Lord, that you know the number of every hair on our head, which means that we are each important to you. I pray today that you will help us, oh God, to love each other, to care about each other, that we will be neighbors that pray for each other. And above all, that we will love you with every fiber of our being. For you are our dad. You are our God. You are our friend. And you gave us the greatest brother we could ever have. Gave us your son, Jesus, our Savior. And it's in his name I lift up our planet, every nation, every country, every city, every state, every township. I lift them up to you, Father God, asking you to give us peace on this planet, this beautiful, wonderful planet that you gave us. Give us peace, oh God. Give us the joy that can only come from loving you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Giving honor to God because he is the source of our strength. Keep God first in what you do. When you go to work for God. That's who we work for. Every day when we get off this blog, I say it's time to go to work because we work for God. Everywhere you go, you are going to work for God. He loves us like that. We are his employees. We are his children. We work in the family business of saving souls for the kingdom. Because, again, the only Lord God, Jesus, that somebody may see is the one that's in you, that Holy Spirit in you, that when they see you, your eyes are lit because they see the light of God in you. We spoke about it yesterday. Let your eyes reflect the love of God. Let your speech reflect the love of God. Let whatever you do reflect the love of God. Let's not get angry about another child dying by the hands of the police. Because I tell you this, another child has died by the hands of his peer. Community is who every day some young child under 21 has been murdered by another child under 21. We have to pray for our children because the enemy is not after our old selves. He's after our children. And that's what we have to pray for. Pray for our children that they will know Jesus. But the only Jesus some of them see, again, is their mothers and their fathers. And if we are talking one thing on Sunday and living one another thing on Monday through Saturday, they see it. Pray for the Harvest family. And now let's get into what we're here for, to know the word of God. And we are still in that strategic book of Joshua. The land is still being divided. Inheritances are still being given, and God is giving us an edit of what needs. And this is what it says in Joshua chapter 17, verses 1 through chapter 18, verse 28 is what we'll be reading this morning. We will also be in Psalms chapter 45, verses 6 through 17. We will be in Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 6. And our word is coming out of Luke, chapter 12, verses 1 through 34. So let's get started. Hallelujah. It's time to go to work. And it says this, there was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, namely from Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore, he was given Gilead and Bashan. And there was a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh, according to their families, for the children of Eleazar, the children of Helek, the children of Ezerah, the children of Sheshem, the of Hefer, the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, according to their families. But Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, Tirzah, and they came near before Eleazar the priest, before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the ruler, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. 10 cheers fell to Manasseh besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side of the Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. And the territory of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethan, that lies east of Shechem, and the border went along south to the inhabitants of El Tephar. Manasseh had that land of Tephar, but Tephar on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim, and the border descended to the brook of Kenar. Southward to the brook, these cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The border of Manasseh was on the north side of the brook, and it ended at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim, northward it was Manasseh, and the sea was its border. Manasseh's territory was adjoining Asher on the north and Issachar on the east. And in Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh had Beth Shean and its towns, Ibleam and its towns, and inhabitants of Dor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and its towns, the inhabitants of Tanakh and its towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and its towns, three hilly regions. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong, Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, as inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now? So Joshua answered him, if you are a great people, then go up to the farther country and clear a place for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and towns and those who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, you are a great people, power. You shall not have only one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours, although it is wooded. You shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. In other words, Joshua said, wait a minute. Didn't God command us to be strong and courageous? You trying to get the easy way out. You want us to give you where the land is already cleared. No, God gave you this land where the Canaanites are. You need to go and take your stuff. You know, Joshua didn't play. He was not weak and nearly and, oh, I guess. No, he was like, this is what you need to do. He was not one of those folks. You know, and for those that are just joining us this morning, I am so excited. This year, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I'm coming out of the New King James Version for my King James readers so you follow along in your words. I am excited because y'all, those that know me know I get all giddy for Joshua. I love this book of the Bible because it is a book that tells us not to walk in fear, but to walk in courage. Because we are who we are. We are children of God. You know, these 12 young men that God gave through Abraham to Isaac and to Jacob are special. Their descendants are special. God said, get your stuff. He gave them this land. He, like I said, I'm going to be a two. I'm going to be a Caleb and a Joshua. We got to fight for what God has given us. And that's what all of it boils down to, is that Joshua is telling the sons of Joseph, fight for your stuff. Don't come whining to me. You got the mountains. You got all of that. If you can't drive out the Canaanites, you're supposed to be strong. Don't worry if they got chariots. Come on now. The earth stood still for us, for our fight. Why do you think God was with us when we came into this land? Don't you think he'll be with us when we take it? Come on now. And this is a life lesson, and life lessons are from Dr. Stanley. So if you hear me say life lessons are a life question, or what does the Bible say about, those are coming from Dr. Stanley to help us get this Bible study, to help us understand what we're reading. So in Joshua chapter 17, verse 4, it says, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers. We should never hesitate to come before the Lord and ask him to do what he has promised, even if it seems out of the ordinary. James tells us, you do not have because you do not ask. James 4:2. That's a highlightable. You do not have because you do not ask. We got to ask God for what we need, whatever it may be. As long as you don't pray amiss, God answers prayers. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And if we go to 17 and verse 18, it says, the mountains country shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites. If we are to fully benefit from the promises of God, we have our own work to do. Come on, y'all. God requires his people to put forth great effort in their life of faith. We can't just sit back and say, well, it's going to be work to do that. Everything we do is work. Work. God wants us to work. It's time to go to work. Why do we think we just want something to be given to us? Oh, just give me this, give me that. No, we got to go to work. You have not because you ask not. But also it says a man that does not work does not eat. They want God, they want to possess the land, but don't want to work for it. You got to get up, go to work, and let's keep it going. Chapter 18, now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together in Shiloh and set up the tabernacle meeting there. And the land was subdued before them, but there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Pick from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them. They shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in seven parts and bring the survey here to me, and I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is to their inheritance. And Gad, Reuben, and half tribe of Manasseh have received their territory beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Then the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, go, walk through the land, survey it, and come back to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in a book in seven parts by the cities. And they came to Joshua at the camp in Shiloh. Then Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. Now the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up, a territory of their lot came out between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. Their border on the north side began at the Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north and went up through the mountains westward. It ended at the wilderness of Beth Aven. The border went over from there toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward, and the border descended to Azeroth Adar, near the hill that lies at the south side of Lower Beth Horon. Then the border extended around the west side of the south, from the hill that lies before Beth Horon, southward, and it ended at Kirjath Baal, which is Kirjath Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west side. The south side began at the end of Kirjath Jearim, and the border extended on the west and went out to the springs of the waters of Nephthol. Then the border came down to the end of the mountain that lies before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of Rapha on the north, and descends to the valley of Hinnom, to the south of the Jebusite city on the south, and descends to El-Rogel, and it went around them. The north went out to El-Shemesh and extended toward Gilead, which is before the ascent of Adunam, and descended the stones of Bohan, the son of Reuben. Then it passed along toward the north side of Arabah and went down to Arabah, and the border passed along to the north side of Beth Hoglan. And then the border ended at the north side of the Salt Sea, at the south end of the Jordan. This was the southern boundary. The Jordan was its border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin, according to its boundaries all around, according to their families. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, Beth Ogla, Emek, Kezi, Beth Araba, Zeramariam, Bethel, Avon, Pera, Ophrah, Shephar, Hamanar, Ophani, Geba, 12 cities from their villages, Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Cherephah, Mozai, Rakim, Irpeel, Shirlah, Zelah, Elephant, Jebus, which is Jerusalem, Jeribah, and Kirjath, 14 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. And then we are getting into a life lesson from chapter 18. How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? What keeps you from claiming the territory that God wants to give you? What is holding you back from acting on his promises? How long will you neglect to possess the land that God has given to you? It's time to get your stuff. It's time to go to work. It's time to move into your territory. Psalms 45, 6 through 17. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with Mer Eloy and Casa out of the ivory palace by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen and girl from Orphar. Listen, O daughter, consider to incline your ear, but get your own people also in your father's house, so the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your lord. Worship him, and the daughter of Tyr will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all gracious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions, who follow her shall be brought to you with gladness and rejoicing. They shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princesses in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. And again, this is a song to the chief musicians, the set of the lilies of the contemplations, the sons of Korah, a song of love. And as we go into Proverbs 14 and 6, it says, a scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy for him who understands. We got to study to show ourselves approved. Meditate on the word day and night. That's the word of God. Because then it will start to permeate your spirit and your mind. We got to know who we belong to. Yeah, there are a whole lot of folks that can quote scripture. But even the devil can quote scripture. We better understand that it's not about what you can quote. It's what do you take to your heart. What do you take to your heart? This word is true. The Lord God has given it to us for a purpose and a reason. Because Joshua talks about inheritance. Our inheritance as children of God is a place in the kingdom. We're working. We are walking in our wilderness to get to our place in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I want to have my mansion in the city with Jesus. I want to be able to sit at his feet, just like Mary, to take in everything I can get from the Savior, because I want to know, ooh, hallelujah, what he knows, that I can be better, that I can teach better, that I can learn, that I can be a servant for God. Everybody is not to be the leader. There's always one shepherd of every church. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 shepherds. There's one shepherd. But then he knows how to delegate so that this person has this assignment. This person has that assignment. This person has that assignment. We each have been given an assignment by the shepherd. God has given us a assignment. Whatever your assignment, you may have more than one, but do your assignment. Don't try to take somebody else's assignment. Don't have a covetous spirit or be a hypocrite. We got to do what we say we're going to do and do it well, because we work for God. We all have an assignment from the shepherd, the great shepherd. Hallelujah. We are going into Luke chapter 12. And again, a great word, a great word. And our word today is coming out of Luke chapter 12, verse 7. So let's get started. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Check it out. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed his power to cast in hell. Yes, I say you fear him. You got to fear the devil. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast in the hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. I'm going to read that again. Verse 4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And after that, have no more than that they can do. What we got to be afraid of is that can kill the body and kill the soul. And as we said, fear him who after he has killed has power to cast in the hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's our title for today. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. Therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. We are more valued to God because he's numbered the hairs on our head. And I can say he knows everyone, every one of us, from our inside to our outside. And he loves us all equally. And it also goes to tell us, also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. We better speak the name of Jesus and not be afraid to let somebody know who you are. You are a believer. You love Jesus, and you better act like it. We can't talk that talk, but walk a different walk. We can't say how much we love God, but yet we hate our neighbor. We can't say, oh, I love God, but I don't like you. And we got to love each other. Forget that stuff, all that foolishness of hate because somebody don't look like you is a lot of nonsense and not a God. Hating for hate. But yet you want to stand in church and talk about how much you love Jesus. But yet you spew hate from the pulpit. You spew lies from the pulpit. God is watching everything we do. Pharisees. And he does not want us to have it. Hallelujah. And it says this, and anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Hallelujah. We better understand that light. Don't you blaspheme it. That light, that Holy Spirit, it lights you up. I just thank God this morning for this mighty word. And it goes on to tell us, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide an inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Said to them, take heed and beware of your covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Come on now. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops. And my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? understand all the stuff in the world you accumulate, it's going to be right here when you die. You can't take all the clothes with you. You can't take all the shoes with you. You can't take your house with you. You can't take that car that you coming in and wanted so badly with you. You can't take anything with you, not even the clothes on your back. They can't go with you. So we got to stop getting so caught up in stuff that we forget to get caught up with God, to get giddy for Jesus. We better understand all your stuff. And I'm looking around my room at a lot of stuff that I'm trying to get together to give away. I'm telling you, I can't take it with me. It's a whole lot of it I can't even wear. We better understand it's time to downsize, because you sure can't take it with you. Not one iota, not one drop, nothing you can't take with you. Not even a drink of water. As Lazarus, as the rich man was trying to get him to give him some. Can you give me just a drink of cool water from your finger? Nope. Sorry. There's a divide. I think I got all this stuff. Let me give some to the poor. Let me take care of the widows and the orphans. Let me take care of those that are in need. No, he's talking about, let me build something bigger so I can, you know, make it everything all right. Instead of giving away the stuff I can't wear, let me make a bigger closet. Let me expand. Come on. We got to get out of the covetous, greedy spirit that we have. You know, billionaires, billions and billions and billions of billionaires. And I'm probably exaggerating. I know I am. But it's just to get the idea out there. We have all these people that have so much that they will never be able to use it all. Houses that they will never sleep in but maybe once every 2 or 3 years. But yet, when you have CEOs making 1,000-plus times more than their employees who only make 14%. When it comes to raises, CEOs, thousands percentage, and workers, 14%. When disparity becomes so lopsided that you will not stand. And I just say this to all those folks that have more money than they'll ever spend. I'm just saying, I know you worked for you, what you have. Some did, some didn't, some inherited it. But I say this, you cannot take it with you. And if we divide it up and help each other, that there would not be one homeless person, there would not be one child going hungry, there would not be the disparity that is out there, because it doesn't have to be. There should not be in the richest nation of the world an unemployed person. There should not be. There should be jobs. Because understand, CEOs with your 1,000% raises, if there's nobody to buy your stuff, then you are going to be poor just like everybody else. You're going to be them folks that was jumping out of windows during the Great Depression because you will not know how to live. You will not know how to take care of yourself because you don't have. Because understand, what the Lord gives, the Lord can also take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is what the word of God tells us in chapter 12 of the book of Luke, verse 21. So it is, so is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And it goes on to say, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, that you will, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on it. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Did y'all catch it? Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Come on now. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you a little faith, what you should eat or what you should drink. Now have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock. But it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves the money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. There no thief approaches nor moth destroys. But there, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We need to make sure our treasure is with God. Hallelujah. I told y'all it was a great word this morning. And I have a life lesson, some life lessons. From Luke chapter 12, verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them? Jesus said that God remembers even the sparrows that end up for sale at a market. He knows their plight. Even so, he knows our situation. He never forgets us, even when our trials make it seem as though he has. Wow. That's a word. Luke 12:15, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. True satisfaction in life flows out of fulfilling the purpose for which we were created, to enjoy an intimate relationship with God. As a substitute for God, acquiring material access only makes the heart feel more hollow. And we're going to run over real quick to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 6, and it says this, but I'm going to go back actually up to verse 1. It says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity. And it is an evil affliction. Wow, what a word. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity and evil affliction. Wow. And if we just go on a little further, and we'll be getting to Ecclesiastes, but I just want to read this. If a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. For it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and his name is covered with darkness. Though it has not seen the sun or known anything, this has more rest than that man. Even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness, do not all go to one place. We got to have a goodness in our spirit. We got to have light. We got to be light over darkness. And this is what the Bible says about money and worry. This is what it says, Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 34. Every day you face decisions, what you really believe about God. You're constantly making choices that demonstrate what you truly depend upon for your security. Of course, for most people, nothing represents a breach, insecurity, or inspires fear as quickly as concerns over money. Of all of Satan's schemes, his deception concerning wealth has become one of the most successful in turning people's hearts away from God. 1 Timothy 6 and 10 reminds us, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Satan will frequently use the perceived need for material security against you, motivating you through fear of the future to choose against trusting God. This can happen in 100 different ways, but it generally involves clear-cut, evade difficult choices that will either honor God or temporarily calm your fears. On one side is God's way, the path he has directed you through his word and spirit. On the other side is the common sense choice option that appears to earthly wisdom. For the man in the crowd, the issue was his inheritance. In Luke 12 and 13, he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Although the man may have had a right to the inheritance, Jesus saw right away that it was a stumbling block to him. It was blinding him to the truly important issues. Not only was the man willing to divide his family over his claim, but his desire for his portion of the inheritance was impeding him from receiving the salvation Jesus was preaching. Jesus was there to offer him eternal life, and all he could think about was the money owed to him. That is why Jesus responded, "Beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Luke 12 and 15. Though here on earth it may seem like money moves the world, it doesn't. God does. Your wealth or lack thereof has nothing to do with your security. It is only a mirage of a world that is fading away. See James 1:11, 1 Peter 1:24. And if time permits, we'll try to get over there. Only God keeps you truly safe. He is the one who feeds you, clothes you. Luke 12:22-29. He is the one who protects your life and will one day require of it of you, Luke 12 and 20. Because understand one thing, we all going to die. The question is, where is your destination? Because, you know, we all understand our attitudes will determine our altitude. I love that word. Thank you, Providence Renee. That's where I heard it the first time. But I tell you this, one thing I know with all my heart is that all the riches in the world, again, you cannot take any of this mess with you. Nothing of you that you have can go with you. Nothing. We got to get out of being caught up in stuff. You know, I went on a fast. I don't need another thing. I don't need another thing. Because understand, it's just more stuff that you're going to have to put away. More stuff that you're going to have to go through, more stuff that you're going to have to write and give away. Because, again, when you die, everything that you see in your room, everything you see in your house is going to go to somebody other than you. All that stuff don't mean a thing if your soul is not right with God. And this is what it says. Remember that whenever you are confronted with a dilemma about monetary issues, do what honors God, and always remember Jesus' words of encouragement. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You are worth a lot more than the assets in your portfolio. And your Father knows your needs even before you ask him. For do not fear. Honor God and trust him to be your security in every situation, because when he is your treasure, you truly have everything you need and much, much more. Don't let the devil get in your ear, because he does that. He makes you fear, walk in fear. We got to walk in faith to know that God will provide. He will. I'm trusting God today for the things that my family needs. I'm trusting God today for his grace and for his mercy to prevail, because the devil will put a stumbling block before us. But we know that our Father God has got our back. He loves us like that. And we got to not be covetous. Because again, what does it say in the word? Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The love of money is the root of not just evil, but all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let's not be greedy. Let's not be covetous. Let's not just go all buck wild and crazy over stuff, because, again, you cannot take it with you. All this stuff will be here when you leave. It will be here for somebody else. Your house will be here for somebody else to live in. Your stuff will be here for somebody else to sell. All of that stuff, you'll find out, means absolutely nothing when your soul is not right with God. We got to get our souls right with God and know who we belong to. You are God's daughters. You are God's sons. You are God's children. And when we understand that, we know who we belong to. Because this is what the word of God says in James chapter 1, verse 11. It says, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flowers fall and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. So don't worry. And I love you. I'm going to go back to chapter, to verse number 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exhortation to humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. And we'll go over to 1 Peter. Which comes right after James. And it's verse 24. But we're going to go to verse 24, and it says this. But let me go actually up to verse 22 to get it in context. And the title's An Enduring Word. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And I say that to you today as we get ready to wrap it up. That's a word by itself. And that's how we end. The Lord God. What did he say? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows everything about us. And he loves us more than anything. You are loved by God. Don't worry about anything else. Just get your heart right. As 1 Peter tells us in his word, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you this morning, family. I love you. I thank God for you. And before we get out, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Oof, and our word is a good word this morning. And it's right on point. When we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Have a warfare Wednesday, family. Again, when we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Have a warfare Wednesday. It's time to go to work at war with the enemy. Don't let him get you off your square today. Keep God first in everything that you do and are doing. And watch God work in your life. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. May you be blessed. May the angels of heaven surround your families. May God complete the work that he is doing in you, the work that he is doing in me. Let those beautiful lights that you all are shine wherever you go today, knowing that our Father God, who through the Holy Spirit, goes with you. Be blessed, family. That is all I have. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our wonderful and matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family. But it is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. It is time to go to work because we are what? Always willing, ready, available, presently praying for you. It's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Be blessed, family. And join me tomorrow, God willing, at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time as we continue to move forward in the Word of God. And I thank God again for this mighty and awesome and wonderful word because we're talking inheritance. We're talking Joshua, and he's dividing the land. And we're praying for strength in Psalms as well as in our book of Luke, chapter 12. We got a lot more word to go. So thank you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Because why? It's time to go to work.